Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight. God is certainly good to all of us, and we're certainly thankful for him. We're thankful for everything that he's doing for us in our lives. And it's just a blessing just to be here. It's a blessing to have our health and our strength and be clothed in our right mind. We thank God for our pastor. He is here tonight. He's with the children tonight. He wanted to have a little fun with the kids. I thank him for the opportunity because he could have got whoever he wanted to teach the Bible study tonight. But I'm eternally grateful. I thank God for Jesus for just allowing me to do it. And I don't take any opportunity that they afford me lightly. Thank God for Deacon Bowie for opening up in devotion tonight. Our beginning scripture tonight, we're going to look at Psalms 25. Our opening scripture, Psalms 25. And I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version tonight. Psalms 25. And it reads, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my eyes, my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Our text tonight is coming from the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at chapter 5. Beginning at verse 11, that's the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 16. That's the book of Acts, chapter 5, looking at verses 11 through 16. And it reads, So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God, and we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this lesson, Lord, and we ask that you give us listening ears. And I ask the Lord that you reduce me, that you use me, dear God, for your purpose. Let me say what you want me to say and clear my mind where I can think right. And when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray and do thank you. Amen. Amen. Tonight we want to talk about power in God's church. Power in God's church. The last time I taught, we talked about desperate for a miracle. And we use a couple of scriptures out of this text. But tonight we want to talk about power in God's church, because God does have miraculous healing powers. He used the apostles. He actually gave them the power to heal, to deliver, and set free in his church. But there are some principles of God that we have to live by and allow God to operate in the church. God cannot operate when we are dysfunctional, when we're not following him, when we're not doing what he called us to do. When we give our life to Christ, we should be really living for him. We should try to be an example of him, should try to live according to his word. And so when you look at this text tonight, this text right here is surrounding, it starts with what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Was really started in the early church. This early church and things that was going on, God was doing it to set a precedence so that we can have something to go by on how we should be living our lives as Christian people. When you look at Ananias and Sapphira, and when you look at this text right here, we see here that Ananias and Sapphira, they had lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the Holy Spirit, and it cost both of them their lives. And they was husband, they was wife, they had sold land and possession, and they had done it, and they was perpetrating that they was giving all the proceeds to the church. And some people wonder why, when you have, why would God pronounce such a judgment of what people would consider to be just a small white lie? God was using this to show us that he is still God and there ain't no other. It don't matter how small a sin is. It don't matter how great it is. Sometimes we look at things different, not looking at things through the eyes of God. But what God wants us to understand is even a small sin can corrupt the church. So he was using this for an example, and he used them, and they lost their lives because they had lied. Now, like Peter was telling them, they had sold the possessions that they had. They was trying to impress people in the church because they wanted them to believe that they was giving all they had in order to feed the poor. And so you got to realize during this time frame that there was no unemployment. There was no welfare. There was no SNAPs. There was nothing. And so the church really was operating in an area where they was feeding and clothing and doing for the less fortunate. And so they was doing this, and they was trying to impress the church by saying that they had sold this property, this possession. They had gave everything to the church. But the Holy Spirit knew that they lied. And so we got to understand that when we actually do things, you know, God can see the things that we do. So the first thing that we see in this text tonight, when you look at verse 11, it says that we see godly fear. It says, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Now, when you look at fear, Fear is what the church is actually standing in need of today. The fear is foundational. When you think about how a lot of us grew up, people just don't fear God no more. They have no respect for the church. They have no respect for the man of God. They don't care what they do in church anymore. They say and do anything, and they think that the God that we serve is deaf and cannot hear them, and nor can see them. But I stop by here tonight to tell you that we have to have godly fear. If you want to see miracles happen, you want to see folks get saved, you want to see folks get baptized, you want to see people get delivered, we got to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord starts with the church. So you got to really understand here that Ananias and Sapphira, they was members. They was godly people. They was children of God. And God pronounced this judgment upon them because he was instilling fear in the church. And what he was wanting them to understand is he was going to be at the right hand of the Father. He wasn't walking with them. He wasn't walking with the disciples, the apostles any longer. He was going to be with the right hand of the Father. So he had to get them to understand that he can still see, he can still hear, and he's still alive. And so we got to have godly fear when it comes down to the things of God. This fear fell upon the church. Not only did it fall upon the church, but it also fell upon those who were not saved. Everybody who heard what happened, fear fell upon them. And you got to understand, God uses this fear in order to glorify himself, in order to magnify himself, so people can know who he is. So when we as Christian people learn how to live, we have to have the godly fear that God is looking for. And so when you look at this right here, we see that when Ananias and Sapphira, after they had done what they did and God had took their life, what happened was they actually started this thing in the church to where godly fear was a part of it. So these miracles that was going on with Paul, with the apostles, was being done because God had people's attention. You know, when we had 9/11, people can look back on 9/11 and when the planes had hit the World Trade Center, you couldn't find a spot in church. Fear had fell upon a lot of folks. This is the same kind of fear that we're talking about right here. God allowed things to happen in order to get the attention of his children. Not only to get the attention of his children, but to get the attention of the folks that's not saved. When 9/11 happened, everybody was afraid. They thought it was going to be Armageddon. They thought it was the end of the world. You could not find a spot in church nowhere. All church houses was full. They was coming to church, giving their lives to Christ because they thought that Jesus was on his way back. And so when you look at this right here, this is the problem with Ananias and Sapphira. When God took their life, people got scared. They got fearful because you got to really look at, they don't even understand what happened here. Because these people belonged to him. All they did was tell a little white lie. And when you can really look back on your own life, think about the things that you have said, the things that you have done, and God still is grateful and merciful for us, and he's still sparing our lives. That's the kind of God that we serve. All God wants us to do is to fear him. When you look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what are we talking about right here? Beginning is the prerequisites, which means you need to have godly fear before you can develop wisdom. We're not talking about people who went to college and went to school and got a secular education. We're talking about folks who don't know who Jesus is. We're talking about folks who don't respect him. This word fear can have several meanings. It's talking about terror. One who feels frightened in a certain situation. It talks about respect and the way a servant fears his master and serves him faithfully. And it's talking about reverence of all a person feels in the presence of greatness of God. So when you look at this right here, these three meanings is all wrapped up into this word fear. God wants us to understand that in order for us to know who he is intimately, in order for us to be able to be good followers of his, you have to have reverent fear of him. You have to fear the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to understand that God is allowing us to live because he died for us. We don't deserve to be here. He didn't deserve what he went through for us, but he died for us so that we can have a right to the tree of life. And so when you look at this right here, we see that godly fear is fell among the church and those who heard everything that went on. When you see things that happen in your family, in your community, in the United States, globally, things happen because God is trying to get our attention. All he wants us to do is to understand that he wants us to fear him in a way to be reverence and respect him. He don't want us to be disrespectful to him. I remember when growing up, you know, with grandmama and granddaddy, how they did things a little bit different. They a lot of times, whenever there was a thunderstorm coming through, it was lightning and thundering. Grandmama and granddaddy tell you, go somewhere and sit yourself down because the Lord is working. The whole point is they was trying to instill fear in us. Listen, we got to respect God. We got to respect him for who he is. And so when we fear him, that's the kind of fear that we have to do. We have to put this into our children's lives. We have to continue to teach them these same principles because they have to learn how to fear the Lord. You know, back when I was smaller and growing up, you know, you ain't hear nothing about people getting struck by lightning at the beach. You ain't hear about folks getting struck by lightning everywhere because folks know how to get out the way and go somewhere and sit themselves down when God was doing something. We got to have that reverence fear in all of Jesus Christ. And so we got to understand that's what God is looking for from us as individuals because he wants to fear him. When we learn how to fear God, God can operate. God can move in the church. And so this starts with the church house of God. Because what he wants to understand is a lot of things go on these days that really shouldn't be going on. God's not pleased the way we don't respect him. He's not pleased the way we treat him. He wants us to treat him differently so that he can actually move on our behalf. When you look at these folks right here, they got scared, and so they start reverencing God. And so when they start reverencing God, God can operate in the church. People want to get healed. People want to get delivered. People want to be set free. And a lot of times they come through us, but because of the relationship that we have with Christ. It's not to say that we're lost. Ananias and Sapphira, although God took their life, they still were saved. The reason why they were saved because they had a relationship with Christ. But he used them in order to instill fear in the church. This early church that was being developed by God, and he wanted them to understand who he is. And so we have to learn how to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a combination of all these. So when you're talking about the beginning of wisdom, we got to understand you gain understanding of the Lord because you start reverencing him and you know how to live your life for Christ. See, education ain't going to do nothing for you when it comes down to fearing the Lord. Education won't do anything for you as far as getting into heaven. Education is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we're talking about wisdom, we're not talking about that kind of wisdom. We're talking about the knowledge of Christ. There's a lot of people who are highly educated but don't give God no reverence or no respect. God see this thing. God know this. We got to understand, he called them type of people fools. Even though you're highly educated, you're still a fool in his eyes because you don't even know who Jesus is. So we have to learn how to reverence, we got to learn how to respect, and we got to learn how to live for him. So our gratitude for his mercy causes us to serve him because when we fear him, we have gratitude for the things that God has done for us in our lives. So when you look at this right here, not only was there great fear, but there was great regard for the children of God. We probably are among the most disrespected group of people in America. Folks don't respect God's people. One reason why they don't respect God's people is because sometimes we disrespect ourselves. You got to understand, when we're talking about fearing God, we got to learn how to treat one another. When we start downing each other, start talking about each other, backbiting one another. People think that our God is inexistent. He don't live. We got to understand that there was great regard when you look at this text for the children of God. When you look at this text right here, it says that they was all on one accord in Solomon's porch, and yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. So we're not talking about the church. We're talking about folks who were not in the church. They weren't Christian people. They esteemed the children of God highly. One thing about us is, in order to be esteemed highly, is we have to understand that we got to learn how to respect God ourselves. When we learn to respect God ourselves, people will have a hard regard for the children of God. A lot of people disrespect us because they don't believe in the God that we serve. Because we act like God does not exist or God does not live. We got to understand that God is operating in our life, and the gifts that he have, we can still operate in those same gifts today because of the fact that we just got to have fear and we got to have high regard for the children of God. We don't need to talk about one another. We don't need to mistreat each other. We need to love each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to be there to honor each other. We don't need to be jealous of each other and mistreat each other. We need to be there to honor each other and lift each other up. We got to have a high regard for the body of Christ ourselves. Folks in the church, folks in the body of Christ, we got to have a high regard for them. These signs and these wonders that was done by the hands of the apostles was done because God can use them to orchestrate and let them know that what they was teaching them, what they was telling them, was actually coming from him. And so when you look at signs and wonders, these signs were supernatural occurrences that point to a warning, instruction, or encouragement from the God that we serve. So God wanted them to actually do these signs and wonders. He enabled them to do it, and they did signs that wasn't natural signs that you know that it came from the Lord. You ever been to somewhere like a doctor and somebody had diagnosed you with a incurable disease? They said you only have so many days to live, but God steps in and he heals you miraculously. What happens is the people, the doctors who don't believe in Christ, God is getting their attention. God is showing them that I'm God and I can do what I want to do. So you don't have to take any bad report from anybody, because you got to understand that God can still operate. When we start having high regard for the children of God, when we start respecting one another, respect our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God can operate through that. This is what he was doing in the early church. He was using these apostles in order to do things miraculously, because they were doing, he had got their attention and they had high regard for the children of God. And so these non-believers who did not believe in Christ had high regard for the Christian people. Don't let people mistreat you because you serve the Lord, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't let nobody down talk you because you serve him. What people do is they will try to do it to discourage you from following Christ. Don't let them get up under your skin. Don't let them get in your head. Don't let them get in your mind. Don't let them do that to discourage you from doing that. God loves us, and God has a high regard for us, and we need to have a high regard for each other. When things happen, let me tell you something. I don't care how people treat you. I don't care what they say about you. They can talk down to you. They can treat you like you're not a child of God. But when things happen, the first person they come running to is the children of God. That's how God operates. That's why these people had high regard for the Christian children, because they knew that they needed to go to them for answers. God had struck down two of his own children. And when they did that, this fear had fell upon them. And so they didn't even know what to do, what to think. Think about it. If God strike down his own, what he's going to do to folks who don't know him as a personal Lord and Savior? And so they was upset, and they had high regard for the children of God. So don't let nobody down talk you. Don't let nobody mistreat you. Don't let nobody make you think that the God that you serve is not real. So they had high regard for the children of God. And not only that, they also was unified. They was all on one accord. I have not seen so many dysfunctional churches in my life. We got to be unified for one cause, for one purpose. They was all on one accord. In other words, their mind was on Jesus. Their mind was on serving. Their mind was on doing what they needed to do according to the instructions from the apostles. So they was unified. We have churches tore up today because they're not unified for one purpose. Everybody want to run the church. Everybody want to be the pastor. Everybody want to be the choir leader. Everybody want to be the musician. Everybody want to be in charge of everything. We got to understand we have to be unified for one purpose. And when we start being unified, we start having fear of the Lord. We start having high regard for the children of God. You can see God start operating in your life and in the life of God's people. Listen, when we mistreat folks, When we buck against God's program, God know what we're doing. He allow us to go on and do this for a long time. Sometimes we go doing it for years, but all we do is cut our own blessing. If we want God to bless us, we want God to heal us, and we want to have miraculous healing, then we got to learn to be unified for one purpose. It said it right there in the word. It said that they was all on one accord. And so when you do that, you got to understand that's how God operates. He operates for us to be on one accord. And not only that, they were scared of God, folks. God people are powerful beings. We don't have no power of our own. We have to do it through our personal Lord and Savior. These people saw God operate in the church. He took the life of Ananias and Sapphira for just telling a little white lie. They heard about it. They knew about it. They had fear of the Lord. But they esteemed the children of God highly. They feared the Lord, but they was afraid of him. God's people are so powerful that we can turn this world upside down. And what I mean by that is folks in our community should be afraid to fool with us. When God operates in your life, when God got a call on you, when God has touched you, when you belong to him, they ought to be afraid to mess with God's people. I don't know how many times it's in the word of God what God has done to people who mess with his children. That's why they was afraid of him. When the fame of God gets out, what God has done, when they start fearing him, then they understand that God has power and he can work it through his children. These apostles that had the miraculous power to heal and deliver and set people free came from the Lord. They knew it came from the Lord because God was operating and he was doing what he did. So we have to understand that because we don't want to operate in the gifts of God, because we don't want to follow him, we got to understand that we're not operating in the gifts that God give us, so we are limiting the power that we have in the Lord. That's why I said when people mistreat you, when people down talk you, when people treat you like you're not a child of God, give it over to the Lord. Can't nobody handle them like Jesus can handle them. See, we got to understand that God can handle them a lot better than we can handle them. And so anything that we do, because when we try to handle folks, we mess up. And so God can handle these folks. That's why they was afraid of them. Listen, when Jesus actually delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, drowned Pharaoh's army, nobody wanted to mess with God's folks. When people learn and know about God and have reverence of him, don't nobody want to mess with God's people. I'm a true witness of this, that even on my job today, we had a guy that worked with us, and he was a pastor of a church. He's retired now. And he was a truck driver. And he used to do some stuff that I guess other drivers didn't like or they thought was crazy. But anyway, they would talk to everybody and they would mess with everybody, but they just wouldn't mess with this guy. Every time they would go to the managers on him, they would just say, "Hey, that's John." You know, they wouldn't discipline him. They wouldn't do anything. They act like they was afraid of him because he was a pastor of a church. And that's how God would do, because he have high regard for the children of God. When we have fear, you got high regard for the children of God. That's exactly what will happen in your life and show you how God will operate. Because when people have fear of the Lord, it actually will trickle down to where they'll be afraid of you as well. So not only did they have godly fear and they had great regard for the children of God, but they also had great faith. When you look at this right here, this was great faith that was in the church of God, in the early church. And like I said, God empowered the apostles in order to do miraculous things, things that we have never seen in front of our eyes. And when they did that right here, they had to have great faith in order for God to do that. First, they had to have fear. God instilled fear in his church, in his early church. When he instilled fear, he got their attention. Then the ungodly people had great regard for the children of God. Then they were unified for one purpose. And when they were unified for one purpose, they was all on one accord. And because of that, and them having great faith, God was able to operate and do things different, miraculously, than nobody has ever had ever done or ever seen. And so when you look at verse 15, it says, "So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." Now, these people was all healed because of great faith and believing in Christ. And not only that, they was healed because God had empowered the apostles to do things miraculously in their sight. And like I told you, when we started this with the early church, with Ananias and Sapphira, when God took their life for telling a white lie, that actually instilled fear in them. And God got their attention. And after he instilled fear in them, and everybody feared them, the church, the ungodly folks, the folks in the surrounding town, then what happened was, then they actually had a high regard for the children of God. And not only did they have a high regard for the children of God, but they also was afraid of them. They was afraid to mess with them, is what we want to, is what you want to establish. And so that God would do that. And because of that, now having great faith, now you see miraculous things being done in the early church. And this serves as an example to all of us. Because when you look at this right here, you never heard of anybody being healed because of the shadow of somebody just falling on them. You never heard of nobody being healed miraculously like that because of the fact that they was doing this. When they brought people from surrounding towns, surrounding cities, in order to be healed, and God healed all of them because he was doing that. And like I told you earlier, the signs and wonders was miraculous signs so that people could know that they was empowered by the Lord. In other words, God was using them in order to get their attention and to get them to understand that the teaching, the preaching, and everything came from the Lord. And so all the credit should go to him. And so I always tell you that God never do anything so that he wants to get the credit for everything that he does, because he want to be lifted up. He want to be glorified. He want to be magnified. And that's some of the problem we have in the church today. We don't want to magnify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to give God glory for everything that he do, no matter how big, how small it is. We got to give him glory for everything that he do. Because when you look at this right here, this is what was going on in the church. God was doing it to bring attention and glory to himself. Like the same thing he did when he drowned the children of Israel, drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea. He was doing it to bring attention to himself. He was getting the glory and the fame from that. And so we have to operate in those gifts. And God cannot operate unless we have great fear, unless we have a high regard for the children of God, and we have to have great faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to have faith so high that we can believe God can do anything. And that's the way we have to be. We got to believe that God can do anything, but he just can't fail. And that's the kind of faith that we got to have. We can't have the kind of faith to where we want to, when we always murmuring, always complaining, always talking about what ain't going good in our life. We got to have an upbeat spirit. We got to have a spirit to when people see us, they know that we serve a God that can do everything for us, but he just can't fail. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter what you have going on, God can do everything, but he can't fail. And we got to have that faith. We got to have that belief. And we got to be able to do it in order to be an example to folks who don't know who Jesus is. Why would you want to serve a God and we always murmuring and complaining about him? I mean, you devote time, you devote money, you dress up, you come to church, you spend time worshiping the Lord, but you're always murmuring and complaining on your job. You're always murmuring and complaining in your community. You're always doing this. We got to have great faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to do what he said he's going to do. And that's how these people were. They had so much faith in God that they didn't even have to worry about touching nobody. They just wanted to just be around them. They just like, if the shadow of Peter could just touch me, if he could just walk by and the shadow could fall on me, I could be healed. And that's the kind of great faith that they had. So these signs, these wonders, these miracles were done in the church of God. And this went out so that we can see and have examples of how God operates in our life. Great faith is what we need in the church. And like I said, God is a God of faith. God is a God of love. God, he loves us. He wants to do well in life. God is there for us for everything that we do. And so we got to have faith to believe that God can do everything, but he just can't fail. And so when you look at this right here, it says that they brought the multitude from other cities. Folks that wasn't even saved, they came so that they could be healed, they can be delivered, and they can be set free. And that's really what the church is. We are an example of Christ. When people come in here, they come to worship. They come to get a healing. They come to be set free. They come to be delivered. They don't really want us to turn our nose up at them. They don't want us looking at them crazy. They don't want us saying mean things to them. We got to have a spirit of love. We got to have a spirit of want to embrace them as a family. And that's what God is looking for. And like I said, when you look at this right here, that's why they had a high esteem for the children of God. And the reason why they had a high esteem for the children of God is because they was embracing everybody. They were loving everybody, saved or unsaved, because this fear that had fell upon them. And right now they were doing everything to follow the instruction and the guidelines of Jesus Christ. And that's what we got to do as a church. We're a church family. We got to love everybody. We got to love our family. We got to love our coworkers, even people that mistreat us. And I know sometimes it's hard. It's hard. We got to pray for our enemies and do everything, but it's hard for us to do it, but it's a requirement as children of God. And we got to have faith to believe that God's going to heal these folks, God's going to set them free, and God's going to deliver them. The problem in our communities right now is because right now there is no fear of the Lord. The problem of it is they have no regard for the children of God. We get disrespected on every hand. And the problem in our community, there is no great faith coming from the church. If we want things to change in our community, in our family, in this nation, globally, it starts with us. And we, as children of God, have to understand that and realize that. And once you get the concept, once you understand what God is looking for, that's what God wants. And so we as Christians have to be fearful of the Lord and exhibit great fear of him ourselves. And like I said, backbiting people, mistreating them, and talking about them is not what God is looking for. He's looking for us to love, to nurture, and to honor his people. And we need to honor each other, and people need to see us loving each other and honoring each other. And then people want to get a life to Christ. They will have a desire to get a life to Christ. It works the same way in your own household. When you're divided, the devil uses it for an opportunity. When you and your spouse don't get along, when you have arguments and doing things in front of your kids, when we do stuff in front of your other family members, when you call people on the phone, because we'll call people and start talking about your spouse, talking about your loved ones, talking about people, and the first thing people say, and they probably won't say it to you, because I got this the other day from one of my relatives. It wasn't me, it was somebody else, but no, I'm serious, it did. In fact, it was yesterday. So I got called, and they was telling me that some things were going on in their household. And the first thing they said, she called herself a Christian, and she go to church. She in the church all the time. And I had to try and talk to them on the phone about this, because I was like, listen, people make mistakes. People have a bad day. But what God is looking for from us is we got to be loving and caring and have a good attitude and a good spirit everywhere that we go. We all have bad days. Things always happen. But if we want to look for the power, we want to look for the movement of God in our lives, as well as the life of the Christian folks in the church, it starts with us. May God bless you. May God keep you. Yes. There's power in the church of God. There's power. There's healing power, delivering power. God is moving and can continue to move. He's just waiting on us. That's all he's doing, just waiting on us. We ought to be fired up for Jesus Christ. And that's what he's looking for. He wants to be fired up Christians so that we can be believers and demonstrate and show that we're believers of him. If nothing else, claim my attention. We can stand so we can be dismissed. I saw Pastor, I think he just walked out, so. We ask that y'all continue to pray for our pastor and his family. Pray for Pastor Meredith Walker and his family. Pray for all the sick and shut in. I think we got two or three members that's in the hospital. Continue to pray for them and pray for our bereaved family. You know, they need prayer. Sometimes things are difficult to navigate and go through. You know, when you lose loved ones, I know it's a lot of times they go into a better place, but sometimes it's still difficult for people to deal with and cope with it. So And we ask that you continue to pray for them and pray for people that's on our prayer list. Like I said, we want to see our prayer list go down. We want to see it shorten. And like I said, we want to see folks delivered and set free. And y'all pray for each other. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, and we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor. And in my name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your lesson, and we ask the Lord that you enable us to apply it to our everyday life. And we pray, dear God, that your will be done in our life, and that you continue to strengthen, encourage, and enable us, dear God, to do your will. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to have fear of you, dear God. Help us, dear God, to honor our Christian brothers and sisters, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray, dear God, that you continue to strengthen us, dear God, in those areas. You know the areas that we stand in need of. And we're thanking you right now in advance, dear God, for strengthening us in those areas. And we pray, dear God, that you continue to work with our pastor, continue to anoint him, continue, dear God, to cover him, dear God, with your spirit, Lord. We ask the Lord that you continue to cover him and his family, Lord, and continue to bless him, dear God, according to your will. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, dear Heavenly Father, to lift up and praise your holy name. And we pray, dear God, that you just continue, Lord, to touch the sick and the shut in, dear Heavenly Father. We know that they stand in the need of a healing, dear Heavenly Father. We know that you're able, dear God, and you know what they stand in need of. We ask, dear God, that you touch them, dear Heavenly Father. Heal them, dear God, according to your will. We thank you for it right now, dear God, and we praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, touch the bereaved family, dear Heavenly Father. Those, dear God, who have lost loved ones, dear Heavenly Father, console them, dear Heavenly Father, with your spirit. They need you, dear God. They need your spirit of love. They need your spirit of compassion. And we pray, dear God, that you just console them, dear God. We ask that you touch their hearts, touch their minds, dear God. And we just pray, dear God, that you work with those, dear God, that are in the hospital, dear God. Those, dear God, that's going through rehab. We ask, dear God, that you touch them, dear God, and you rehabilitate them, dear God, and you bring them back, dear God, to be what you want to be, dear Heavenly Father. We honor you, dear God, and we thank you, dear God, for healing them, dear God. And we pray, dear God, that you just continue to strengthen their weakened bodies, dear Lord, in the areas that it needs strengthening is. And we pray, dear God, that you continue to bless those, dear God, who watching online, those who's up under the sound of my voice right now. We pray that you bless them, bless their families, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask, dear God, that you just enable them, dear Heavenly Father, to get back to their destination safely, dear God. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we magnify your holy name in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus. We do pray and do thank you. Amen.